The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Children all over the world love Eric. Except for one 10-year-old girl named Ramona. She can't stand Eric, and she's not afraid to say so. Okay, I admit it. I am Ramona. I hate you, Eric. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Oh, yeah, and here you are. I mean, here he is, Eric Metaxas.
I hate you back. Hey, folks, I have a very special show. I am so excited right now. I'm going to get tongue-tied, really. I'm sitting here with somebody who's become a friend, but who has a story. If you've not heard the story, you're going to stick around. You're not going anywhere. I don't even need to tell you not to go anyplace because you're going to stick around. I'm sitting here with Michael Franzese. I don't know how to describe you, Michael, except a friend, brother in faith. Welcome to the show.
Good to be back, Eric.
You pull that a little bit closer to you because I don't want to miss any syllables here.
Gotcha.
You have a story that's practically unbelievable. So I'm going to ask you, so I don't do all the talking, to boast a little bit on yourself, because your story is really and truly practically unbelievable. When I found out the details of your story, I said, if there's any way I can get this guy on my program, because people need to know stories like this can happen because this happened to you. So where do we start?
We start off in Brooklyn, New York, where I was born. And my dad, Sonny Franzese, was the underboss of the Colombo crime family, one of the five New York La Cosa Nostra families. And so I grew up, you know, with that kind of environment. And my dad was extremely high profile. He was kind of like the John Gotti of his day, always under investigation, major target of law enforcement.
Now, just to be clear, your father is how old?
Dad's 102 years old.
102. And no joke, he just got out of prison like last year.
He got released in 2017 at the age of 100. He was the oldest inmate in the federal system in America.
How many years of his life did he spend behind bars?
He did 40 years. And he's now, Eric, the oldest living made man in America, quite possibly in the world. He's been part of that life 68 years.
Okay. So he has not turned away from that life. And you were raised in that life. Let's not sugarcoat it. You were part of that life. That was your life. When did you get serious about this? In other words, were you serious about this as a teenager? Was this just something that was assumed that you're going to become a member of the mob, the mafia? Is this something you knew was going to be your life?
Actually, quite the opposite. My dad wanted me out of the life. He actually wanted me to go to school and be a doctor. I was an athlete in school, so I was on that road until he got in some very serious trouble in the 60s. He was indicted three times in the state of New York, very serious crimes, grand larceny, homicide. I was acquitted in all those cases. But then in 67, he was indicted in federal court for masterminding a nationwide string of bank robberies. Convicted, sentenced to 50 years in prison. And in 1970, he went off to do his time. And I was a pre-med student, Hofstra University, and I was devastated, Eric. I love my dad. He was like my idol in life. And so Joe Colombo was the boss of our family. He kind of took me under his wing at that time. A lot of my dad's friends were saying, Mike, what are you doing going to school? If you don't help your father out, he's going to die in prison. So I go visit him in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Dad, I'm not going to school anymore. If I don't help you out, you're going to die in here.
Now, what does that mean, help him out? How could you help out your father in prison?
Well, you know, Eric, my dad told me that he was innocent. He said, Mike, I was framed on this case. I'm not a bank robber. I didn't order any bank robbers. The reason I really believed him, he never lied to me. But the actual bank robbers were all junkies. They were all heroin addicts. My dad always preached against drugs to me, always. From the time I was 5 years old, he would talk about the evil of drugs. So I didn't believe he'd associate with them. So when he told me he was innocent, I believed him. And I said, Dad, you're going to do 50 years. You're going to die in jail for a crime you didn't commit. I need to help you. So how do I help him? With appeals, trying to find the witnesses, trying to get them to recant. But I had to do that on the street. Couldn't do that going to school. So at that point in time, he proposed me for membership in the Colombo family. And, you know, when you become a member of that life, you can't just say, hey, I'd like to join. Somebody has to propose you, vouch for you, say you have what it takes.
It's so tougher to get in than to get into the Steam Fitters Union.
Pretty tough, yes.
Right. So you, obviously, it wasn't tough for you because your father was a huge, big deal in that world. But the bigger issue is you can't say, yeah, I'd like to do a four-year stint, see how I like it. Once you're in, that's it.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to prove yourself, Eric. You know, I was in kind of like a pledge period where I had to do whatever I was told to do to prove myself worthy. And, you know, it's a serious life, so there's serious stuff that you have to do. And there's a lot of discipline, a lot of authority in that life. But once I made the decision to go for it, I wanted to be the best possible guy I could be. I wanted to please my dad.
You wanted to be the best gangster you could be.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's, you know, in some ways it's funny because you think you loved your father. And people need to understand on a human level how people get sucked into different things.
Mm-hmm.
You loved your father and you wanted to help your father. And that's what led you into this. Now, I guess my question is, did you know that your father was in the rackets, or did you think that he was doing something else, or how did it, I mean, you had to know because obviously you got involved yourself, but what did you think at that time, you know, even though he was innocent of those crimes, you knew he was guilty of tons of other crimes?
You know what, Eric? My dad was kind of like the John Gotti of his day. So much media attention, so much publicity. We had law enforcement around us all the time. So I knew exactly what he was. But I loved him so much that I said, anything my dad is a part of must be okay.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't be doing it if it
sure.
wasn't okay. So
sure.
I just had that attitude growing up.
Yeah. Well, I would say that's natural and normal, frankly. Mm-hmm. You decide to go full-time into helping your father. You leave the idea of med school. You become a member of what we call the mafia. And at what point, you know, do you become a made man? And how do you rise in the ranks of the order? In other words, what was your story there?
Well, after I got through this recruit pledge period, which was almost 2 years, I was 22, a little over 22 when my dad proposed me. I'm in this recruit period where I had to prove myself for almost 2 years. And then Halloween night 1975, was 43 years ago this past October, I was walked into a room with five other gentlemen, and we took an actual blood oath and became sworn made members of the family. And, you know, I took that oath very seriously back then, Eric. I take it seriously now, even though I don't consider myself a member of the life anymore. You're right. When you come into the life, you don't sign a contract. There's no retirement age. You can't say I'm done. They say when you leave that life, you either leave in a coffin or join the government and enter a witness protection program. Obviously, I've done neither. But it was a very solemn ceremony, dimly lit room at late at night. They wanted you to understand the seriousness of what you were getting involved in. So the six of us walked in individually. The boss was seated at, like, the head of a horseshoe configuration. The underboss and consigliere to his left and right, and all our captains or capo regimes were alongside of them. Walked down the aisle, stood in front of the boss. He took a knife, cut my finger. Some blood dropped on the floor. This is a blood oath. I cupped my hands. He took a picture of a saint, a Catholic altar card, put it on my hands and lit it aflame. Didn't hurt. It burned quickly. It was merely symbolic. You know, Eric, he said something to me that night that I don't recall hearing in my life before. And I grew up as a Catholic, Catholic school from kindergarten right through high school. I was an altar boy the whole bit. But for me, for some reason at that time, Catholicism was like a subject in school. You know, I didn't get this relationship with the Lord. And I'm not blaming Catholics, just didn't work for me. But when he said it, it was the first time I heard it. He said, tonight, Michael Francis, you are born again into a new life, into La Cosa Nostra. Violate what you know about this life, betray your brothers, and you will die and burn in hell like the saint is burning in your hands. That's the oath. He said, do you accept? And I said, yes, I do.
Wow. I mean, it's so hard to even react to that because it's on the one hand, it's so sick and evil. And on the other hand, it's fascinating how, you know, people call it syncretism when you mix religions and whatever. And a lot of voodoo is like that. There are things where they mix in God stuff, saints, whatever. So you think it's a God thing on some level, but it's really a demonic thing. It's unbelievable. Hang on a second, Michael, because we're going to go to a break. Folks, I know you're not going away. I'm not even going to bother to ask you to stick around. The rest of the story gets very crazy. Tell your friends. We'll be right back.
You're a do-it-yourselfer. You fix things around the house, take care of the yard, wash your car, and on top of it all, run your own business. But wow, when it comes to digital marketing and advertising, things aren't so do-it-yourself. You need results and just aren't getting them on your own. Salem Surround will get you results. We know digital marketing and how to deliver customers so you can run your business. Using every digital marketing tool possible is a necessity to compete in today's business world. But you have to know about all the options. Our team at Salem Surround has the expertise to manage all your digital marketing under one roof. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and, most importantly, revenue. There really are no limitations on how and where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more at SalemSurround.com. SalemSurround.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Are you overwhelmed, unable to think clearly or sleep well at night? Or just trudging through each day but not really enjoying your life? I'm a counselor with Faithful Counseling. And that feeling of distress can sometimes be because you're wrestling with a problem that seems too big or too impossible to overcome. Other times, people are consumed by a past hurt. I'm part of a network of Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who share your faith. We want to give you a free week so you can try us out. You can begin a conversation with one of us by text or phone, even video conferencing today. Are you ready to shake this off and begin enjoying your life? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you'll not pay a dime. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's so easy to get started and your first week is free. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Are you overwhelmed, unable to think clearly or sleep well at night? Or just trudging through each day but not really enjoying your life? I'm a counselor with Faithful Counseling. And that feeling of distress can sometimes be because you're wrestling with a problem that seems too big or too impossible to overcome. Other times, people are consumed by a past hurt. I'm part of a network of Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who share your faith. We want to give you a free week so you can try us out. You can begin a conversation with one of us by text or phone, even video conferencing today. Are you ready to shake this off and begin enjoying your life? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you'll not pay a dime. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com.
Important bulletin regarding the secret tech stock that everyone is suddenly talking about. The tech stock is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. Donald Trump himself called what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. And the company is collecting billions from the tech giants, including over $30 billion just from Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft. Yet here's the most intriguing part. This $3 stock trades under a secret name. Just go to OneStockRetirementNow.com to get the whole story.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friend Michael Franzese about a story that is frankly as close to unbelievable as it gets, except I know it's true, so I believe it. Michael, your story, I want to go back and I want to kind of frame things. Where you ended up, okay, and I know this, you are one of the key members in New York's Colombo crime family. You weren't just involved, you were a major figure in what we call the mafia. Vanity Fair magazine, this must have been in the 80s, called you one of the biggest money makers in the mob since Al Capone. By the age of 35, you were the youngest mobster listed on Fortune magazine's survey of the 50 most wealthy and powerful mafia bosses in America. I mean, this is insane. That was your life.
Yes.
While you're in your 20s and your 30s. So you rose in the ranks to become somebody to be reckoned with. And obviously, and I want to ask you about this, to be feared. That's, to me, the horrifying thing about that life is that the fear. You know, all you have to do is watch a few movies and you get the idea. Were you comfortable in that? Is that just you like a soldier? You just assumed that this is the life, this is the way it goes?
You know, Eric, that's a great question because I often said this. You know, there were times in that life that I had to do things that I was very uncomfortable with, made me uncomfortable. Because originally, like I said, this wasn't my plan to become a made guy. It happened that way. But I always say I did them anyway. I mean, I knew that I had to perform in that life, and sometimes you kind of step out of yourself and you do what you have to do. And it's a treacherous life. And, you know, there's violence as part of that life, and if you're part of the life, you're part of the violence. So I always claim responsibility for the things that I did in that regard. But, you know, people did fear me. There's no question about that. I mean, they fear, they know what you're about. They know what you're a part of. And then it's all about how you handle yourself at that point, you know. And unfortunately, that's a part of the life.
Since I've become a Christian, I guess I see it as a demonic thing. In other words, that it has a taproot that goes to pure evil. I mean, to be able to torture people, kill people, dismember people, threaten people, you know, that is not. There's nothing normal about that. It's very dark stuff. When you were at the peak of this, so tell us the story about your path out of this. And by the way, you said to me, nobody gets out. I mean, of those people in the Fortune magazine, 50 people, where are those 50 people today? This was in the 80s?
It was 33 years ago. It was 1986 that article was written. And here's the astonishing thing about that, Eric. Up until March of this past year, 47 of them were dead. In March, my former boss, Carmine Persico, he died in prison on March 7th. So he's number 48. There's one other that's still living. I believe he's doing life in prison. And number 50 is sitting with you today. So to
and
say
you're not in witness protection.
Never went
you're
into
not like
protection.
Sammy the Bull. You're recognizable. You look the same. You never had plastic surgery, and you're not living in a tract house in the West someplace. Here you are, but you still, I'm imagining, have to fear for your life sometimes.
Well, you know, you can't leave that life. And there was a contract, is the term that's used, on my life right up until, I believe, my former boss died, you know, 2 months ago.
Until Persico died, there was a contract on your life?
I believe so. He never lifted it, even though he lost control of the family pretty well, because he did, I think, 39 years in prison since he was convicted on the mob commission case by Giuliani. If he were out on the street, I would have had trouble, no doubt, because he was an old-time guy. They called him the Snake. He was. He and I had a great relationship, but obviously it turned sour when I walked away, because you're not allowed to walk away. And he took it very personal. So he did what he thought was the right thing to do, according to that life, and I was in trouble. But, you know, the new guys now, you know, they don't really have an in for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't go back to Brooklyn and say, hey, guys, I'm moving back into the neighborhood. I wouldn't last 48 hours, but, you know, you're not supposed to be stupid.
They would kill you.
Most likely, yes.
I mean, let's just be clear here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't last 48 hours.
I'd be thumbing my nose in their face, and I don't do that. But, you know, the other thing, Eric, I never testified against any of my former associates. I wasn't out to put people in prison. I wasn't mad at anybody with anybody. I just wanted out of the life when I left.
So let's talk about that. You, like a lot of mob figures, you were in a lot of legitimate business. You know, in other words, people could look at you and see you as a guy doing business. They don't know where you're getting the money from. They don't know the rest of the story. You got involved in the entertainment business, did you not?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I was making movies, among many other things I was doing. And, you know, I had two automobile dealerships legitimately. I had a leasing company. I had a number of things that were legal.
And you're in your 30s?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Vanity Fair says that you were the biggest money maker in the mob since Al Capone. How were you making so much money for the mob at that time?
Well, the bottom line is I had devised a scheme to defraud the government out of tax on every gallon of gasoline. And to make a long story short, I ran that operation for 7 years. I had all the Russian mob guys from Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, working with me. I had over 350 gas stations I either owned or operated throughout the New York, up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
350 gas stations.
And I had 18 companies that were licensed to collect the tax on every gallon of gasoline. To give you an idea of the numbers, at the height of my operation, I was selling half a billion gallons of gas a month, and we were taking down 30 to 40 cents a gallon. So you do the math. I mean, at one point in time, we were bringing in $8 to $10 million a week. And
eight
there was
to
no
ten
other
million option. Dollars a week.
Yes.
Now, I assume you had to bribe some government officials to make this happen.
Well, I had political connections to get the licenses. Yes, because you couldn't get a wholesale license to collect the tax that easily. So we had. Contacts.
I'm asking because I'm thinking of doing this, but you know, on a smaller level,
yeah.
Because I think defrauding the government is a good idea. But no, seriously, I can't believe this is crazy stuff. So you're making tons of money, and then on the side, you get into movie making.
Yes.
So tell us about that and meeting your wife and the whole story.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you back into things. I kind of backed into getting into the movie business through a friend of mine out in California. I sent him some money. He produced a movie. It was a horror movie called Mausoleum. And I'll never forget, Eric, he tells me, send me $83,000, you're going to be my partner. So I sent him $83,000. P.S., $1 million later, I invested. We made a movie called Mausoleum, horror movie that didn't scare anybody but me, because I was the investor, lost everything, right? But I got the movie bug at that point, and I got into the business, and we started producing some films very effectively at that time. And Smokey Robinson approaches me with a movie, a script for a breakdance movie, music, dance, you know, rap music back then, all that stuff. So we're producing the movie in Florida. And I bring cast and crew from L.A. to work in the film and 50 professional dancers.
Now, did this ever get made?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What was the title?
It's called Knights of the City.
Knights of the City. Yeah. This is about, you know, dancing. Okay.
Yeah, Smokey was in it. Sammy Davis did a role for me in it. You know, a bunch of people.
Sammy Davis was in it?
Yeah.
You knew Sammy Davis?
I knew Sammy very well, yes.
I just got to stop there. You knew Sammy Davis very well. All right.
Great guy, by the way.
Well, I would assume so. Yeah. Man, incredible. So you're making this movie, and one of the dancers caught your eye.
Sitting in the hotel by the pool, I had thrown a party for everyone because we were getting ready to start the heavy work, principal photography. Monday, Sunday, I throw a big party in the back of the hotel. Beautiful day in Florida. I'm sitting back there minding my own business, Eric, and all of a sudden this gorgeous 20-year-old girl comes out of the water. It was like everything went in slow motion, like a Pepsi commercial.
Right? Actually, this reminds me of the Raging Bull when he's watching. She was 15 years old, right? And he's like looking at her. And, of course, Scorsese slows everything down in black and white. It's like this moment. It sounds like you experienced that.
That's the scene.
Wow.
And I said, wow, who is this girl? So, you know, make a very long story short, that's been told a number of times. She was a young girl of faith, a young Christian girl. I fell very much in love with her, and next month we'll be celebrating 34 years of marriage.
Wow. Yeah. So we know how that turned out. That's pretty good. All right, but you see her. She's gorgeous. She's 20. You're whatever, 30-something.
31.
31. And you don't really know that she's one of these Jesus freaks. She's just an attractive girl in the movie. And we'll pick up the rest of the story in a couple of seconds. Folks, stick around. See Eric Metaxas Show, our website, metaxastalk.com. Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. As you know, we're heading into the summer, and this is very important, and I have to share this with you. There's something called Angel Tree Camp. If you know me, my relationship with Chuck Colson, Prison Fellowship, they created this thing called Angel Tree, which is just amazing. They reach out to the kids of prisoners. It is so beautiful. These kids can get out of a bad environment and go to a beautiful camp, Christian environment for a week for $200. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please be generous. God bless you.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Georgia's Doug Collins, is calling a Democratic effort to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress illogical and disingenuous. Chairman Jerry Nadler scheduled a vote on Wednesday to hold Barr in contempt after Barr failed to hand over a full, unredacted version of the Mueller report. The deployments of a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group and land-based bombers to the Middle East are in response to indications of a possible threat by Iran on U.S. forces in the region. In health news, officials say at least 60 more measles cases have been reported, increasing a 2019 tally that is already the highest in 25 years. 764 cases have been reported. It's the most since 1994 in the U.S. Stocks remain lower. The Dow is down 161 points. This is SRN News.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Well, nothing to those East End lights.
there, folks. That's Elton John, American with Taxes. And I'm sitting here with Michael Franzese, who is the author of a book, Blood Covenant, which talks about everything we're talking about here. And we'll talk about some of the other things you're working on. But so just to go on with the story, Michael, there's comedy in it, right? Here you are. You're a very powerful mobster. You see this beautiful 20-year-old girl. You don't have any clue about her serious faith in Jesus, and you begin to pursue her.
Yes.
And so tell us about that.
I pursue her, and she doesn't want anything to do with me.
Why?
I don't know. She thought I was too old for her. I was the producer. She was 20. I was 31. But what I noticed, Eric, you know, we used to hang out with some of the cast. We used to go to some of the clubs. She would never show up. You know, she was one or two friends, did her rehearsal, back to the room. That was it. Always kept to herself. So one night I cornered her. We were coming out of a cast meeting, and I said, you know, why don't you, I'm trying to take you out to lunch. You say yes, but you don't show up. You don't hang out with anybody. Long story short, she says, you know, I'm a girl of faith, or I'm a believer, or Christian. I forget how she put it. I said, well, I'm Catholic. You know, we got something in common. Let's talk. I was trying to break the ice. You know, so we started to get to know each other a bit on the set, and I wasn't buying into her faith at that point, but I was really starting to take a liking to her. We wrapped the movie, and she says, you got to come home and meet my mother. She's very close to her mom, right? I said, hey, no problem. She was from Anaheim, California. We jump on a plane. We go meet her mom. Eric, her mom, Irma, was the most godly woman I ever met in my life. If you meet Irma for 2 minutes, your name goes in her prayer book. She had a prayer book like a telephone book. I'm not kidding. And there was no shame in her game at all. She would talk to me as if Jesus was standing next to us. So I'm getting like a spooky feeling with these two. I said, what's up here? But here's what's really happening. I'm starting to fall in love with this girl. And I saw that her and her mom were very serious about their faith. I mean, they put it right out there. And I said, how is this going to work? I'm a direct contradiction to everything these two women believe. And they didn't know about my life. You know, they saw The Godfather once. They didn't know anything. I'm a New York guy. And so it was at that point, really because I wanted this girl in my life, that I knew I had to make some changes in my life at that point. And, you know, I always say this. Her and her mom led me to the Lord. Nobody can make you accept him. But she was the catalyst that I believe that God used to put me in that direction.
I mean, it's just a crazy, amazing story that you fall in love with this beautiful woman who is very serious about her faith. And like most New Yorkers, if I can say, since I grew up in New York, you're not familiar with that. You know, in other words, you've never seen that. You don't know what that is. So when you say I'm a Catholic, it's like I say I'm Greek Orthodox. Right? You've never seen somebody whose whole life is centered around God. And at first it's puzzling and it just seems kind of religious fanatic. What is it? But I guess you began to see that it was a good thing, that it was a beautiful thing, and that you were willing to make some accommodations. But how is it possible for one of the top figures in the New York Mafia to make accommodations that would allow him to be with a woman like this?
Well, you know, there really was no rhyme or reason to what I was doing, because I don't know of anybody that's ever walked away from that life, not entered a program, and publicly lived to talk about it as I have. So, you know the fascinating thing to me, Eric, when I look back and I kind of see the path that God navigated for me, when I meet this girl, I'm at the top of my game. I'm my father's son. I'm mob guy all the way. Honestly, my dad was grooming me to one day take over the family. I mean, that's what he had. He had aspirations, and he was high enough to be able to make that happen at some point. And I wanted to be the best possible mob guy I could be. That's who I was. All of a sudden, I meet this girl, and my love and attraction for her is becoming more powerful than this love I had for my dad, more powerful than this blood oath that I took. So I always tell people, how do you explain that? Well, 34 years later, I explain it that God put this girl in my life because she came out of nowhere. Because he had a different plan and a purpose for me. But now I have to figure out how to get away from that life. Not easy. So I always had a plan. I devised a plan to try to never to, you know, just walk away where maybe they'd forget about me. That's all it was. Move out to California. They were indicting me on another big case. I had been indicted so many times. Giuliani indicted me, everybody. And I beat all of those cases. So I figure now I'll take a plea. They were indicting me on this gasoline tax thing, another racketeering thing. But I kept beating the government, so I had leverage with them. So I told my lawyer, let's negotiate. I'll take a plea. I'll do a couple of years in prison. I'll give him some money. I'll marry Camille, move out to the West Coast, get out of jail. Maybe after 10 or 12 years, the mob guys will forget about me. That was my plan. It had nothing to do with God at that point. You know, I just was in love with a beautiful woman. That was it.
And you didn't have a problem making money. You figured you could make money legitimately. Or were you really thinking that you'd just go off on your own? What were you thinking?
Well, you got to understand, Eric, at that point I had $several million, you know, so I gave the government, I had a $15 million restitution, I had $5 million in forfeitures, I had a jet plane, a helicopter, I sold everything as part of my, you know, restitution, gave it to them. But I still had money, you know, to support my wife while I went to prison, and enough when I got out to get started again. I had a head for business, I didn't worry about that.
Right.
I figured I'll make it happen somehow.
Right. Okay. So it works out that you get this plea and you go to prison.
Yes.
And where were you in prison?
Well, I was in the federal system. Originally, I went out to Terminal Island, California. But at some point in time, I was in almost every prison, federal prison in the country, when the federal government, they were trying to break me down and make me a witness.
Okay, I remember this. When they try to break you down, they move you from prison to prison to prison to prison to try to break you down. We got to go to another break. When we come back, I want to hear, we will hear the rest of the story, folks. Don't go away. It's Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me. The Quick Start Pack, $19.95. You get more than 3 weeks' worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app.
Home Advisor.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards, and it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment. Now we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Important bulletin regarding the secret tech stock that everyone is suddenly talking about. The tech stock is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. Donald Trump himself called what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. And the company is collecting billions from the tech giants, including over $30 billion just from Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft. Yet here's the most intriguing part. This $3 stock trades under a secret name. Just go to onestockretirementnow.com to get the whole story.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Hey there, folks. It's the Erickman Taxes Show. I am talking to Michael Frenzies about his life in the mob and somehow getting out and living to tell about it. Michael, you're at this point now where you make the deal and the feds are trying to break you.
Yes.
Okay, so that's pretty brutal. They know how to do that. What do they do?
Well, when you're in prison, you know, the worst part of being in the federal system is what you call diesel therapy. And what that is, the feds will pick you up in the middle of the night, Bureau of Prisons, marshals pick you up, and they put you on a bus and then on a plane that the marshals confiscated for some drug deal. It's all gutted out, and they transport you from prison to prison. Middle of the night, you're chained, shackled. They put you in the hole. They leave you there for a week, maybe 10 days, pick you up again, put you back on that journey. It's called diesel therapy. You never get settled in. You can't get visits because nobody knows where you are because for security reasons.
And why were they trying to break you again?
They wanted me to become a cooperating witness. And, you know, Eric, honestly, I was trying to make them think, you know, I'm out of the life, you know, I'm married. I never admitted to being a part of the life. But what I said is, you know, I married a California girl. I'm going to move out there. There is no mob. I gave them that kind of story. But they figured if they had me in that mentality, then I could probably go all the way. Because, you know, I could have hurt a lot of guys in New York, obviously. So they really pressured me. And they put me on that therapy for over a year.
Over a year?
Yes, just kept
moving
me
around. So this must have just, like, it must have broken you. I mean, maybe not to the point where you turned state's evidence, but I cannot imagine going through that for nearly a year.
It was tough. I'll be honest with you. It was really, really tough. But, you know, I would never, never betray my father in that way, no matter what. I mean, because that would have been dangerous for him, too, if I would have started cooperating. Excuse me. I'd never put him in that position because he proposed me. And I wasn't mad at anybody. I wasn't looking to hurt anybody, number one. Number two, I believe I was leaving the life for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go into hiding, change right. my name, and not be able to get involved with my family. I mean, that's a horrible way to live.
Right.
Witness protection is terrible.
Right.
I wasn't interested. I figured, you know, I'll endure it.
So you endured it.
Yes.
And so then what happens?
Well, you know, it became very public that I was walking away because Life magazine writes this huge story, quitting the mafia. And the reporter kind of did me dirty because he had me doing almost everything but testifying. So everybody in New York was all nervous. They figured, you know, whenever anybody leaves that life, the next step is they're on the witness stand and they're hurting people.
Right.
But that never happened with me. So I'm back in prison. I do 5 years. We get through that 5-year stretch. I get out on parole. Eric, worst 13 months of my life. I mean.
Now, wait a minute. You're in 5 years.
Did 5 years, right.
And your future wife is waiting for you or what?
You know, I always say this. I'm not the story here. She's really the story. I mean, she was 21 years old when I married her. I brought so much baggage into this young girl's life. And she'll tell you, if God wasn't in the foundation of our marriage, I don't know if I would have made it through because it was too tough. I put so much pressure on her, not intentionally, just part of my life. But, yeah, we had one little baby at that point, and she waited for me for that 5 years. We're out on parole 13 months.
But so she did marry you.
Oh, yeah.
That's an amazing thing, you know, that a woman who is that serious about her Christian faith would marry you, that she must have seen the future in a way, that she could see
who you really were and who you were becoming, because otherwise, obviously, you know, that wasn't going to work. And so for 5 years, you're in there, and now you get out and you say that the 13 months on parole were bad. What happened?
Well, I'm literally dodging bullets. I mean, the FBI is coming to me, whether they like you or not. If they get word from their informants that your life is in danger, they have to tell you. So they come to me, they say, Francis, this guy's here from New York out to hurt you. If you don't leave town, you're going to be dead by the weekend. So I have to pick my family up. We have to move.
So they were trying to kill you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew they were going to make an attempt. There was no doubt. But, you know, I can't put a house in my name, no utilities. You know, I had to watch myself for a while. I had to change my whole lifetime pattern. I didn't walk my dog every morning at 7. I didn't go to the same restaurant every Tuesday night. I had to be very disciplined in that regard. So if somebody was looking for me, they'd know my patterns in life, you know. And, you know, Eric, one of the horrible things about that life is you make a mistake, your best friend walks you into a room, you don't walk out again. And so I experienced that through my 20-plus years on the street. And I said, you know, they're going to have to work to get me. They're not going to walk me into a room. So I had to change everything around. I was very disciplined about it, but it was a lot of pressure. I couldn't make a living, you know, couldn't earn money. I mean, and like a fool, and I will admit, a total fool, I fall into a trap and I violate my parole. And they locked me up again, got me coming out of a bank, leaned my bank accounts, drove the cuffs on me, rode my car away.
Now, what do you mean you broke your, could you say how you broke your parole?
Bottom line is I didn't file my income tax.
Yeah.
I was supposed to. That's a crime when you don't do that. So they violated me for that.
Okay, so they decide they're going to hit you.
They're
so they hit you.
Yeah.
They put you back in.
Yes. And they told my wife I'd never see the street again. They were going to indict me on another racketeering case. She almost had a breakdown at me at that point. She said, here I go, you know, again, I'll never see my husband
again. But, I mean,
again.
It's interesting that you're out on parole, you break your parole, and at that point they're telling you it's over. You're not just going to go in for a couple of years, that somehow they're scheming to keep you in there for a long, long time.
They told me I was going to die in prison, basically. They're going to put me away for life. Violated my parole, indicted me on another racketeering case. It was a mess. So they're driving me down to the federal lockup in L.A. They were going to transport me back to Brooklyn in the morning where my case was. And they throw me in that 6x8 cell. And, Eric, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it was the worst night of my life. I mean, I tell everybody, I've experienced every emotion from ecstasy right down to grief, everything in between, but by far hopelessness is the worst emotion you can feel. Because at that point in time, I said, it's done. I'm going to lose my wife. They're going to have to keep me locked up in this hole. They can't put me out of the yard. Everybody's looking to kill me. I said, at the age of 39, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this 6x8 cell. You know, I used to demean people that were suicidal. I said, they're weak. How do they not face up to their troubles? I don't do that anymore, Eric, not after that night. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't that brave, but I honestly want to lay my head on that cot and never wake up again.
We're going to come back to hear what happened to you right after this, which is an amazing story. I've heard it before, and I can't believe you're sitting here with me. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Stick around.
Everyone's talking about Better Together, the exciting new talk show by women and for women airing daily on TBN Television Network. Join host Lori Crouch and some awesome women of faith and action. Better Together is a fast-moving 30 minutes of honest, engaging conversation about all sorts of issues. No topic is off limits. That's what Better Together is all about, living, loving, and growing in God's grace together as friends and family. Join in weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific for Better Together, exclusively on TBN.
Important bulletin regarding the secret tech stock that everyone is suddenly talking about. The tech stock is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. Donald Trump himself called what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. And the company is collecting billions from the tech giants, including over $30 billion just from Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft. Yet here's the most intriguing part. This $3 stock trades under a secret name. Just go to OneStockRetirementNow.com to get the whole story.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The House Judiciary Committee is set to take action against Attorney General William Barr this week. after he failed to provide the full and unredacted version of the special counsel's Russia report by this morning's deadline.
Chairman Jerry Nadler says the panel will vote Wednesday on holding Barr in contempt of Congress, saying the attorney general left no choice after failing to comply with a subpoena. Nadler says lawmakers must see the full report and its underlying evidence to figure out how to move forward. The committee's top Republican says the vote is illogical and disingenuous. Doug Collins says the panel's negotiating with the Justice Department for the full report. He's accusing Democrats of launching a proxy war against Barr when they're actually angry with the president and the special counsel himself. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
This is SRN News.
Donald Trump has declared war against the Federal Reserve. The winner will determine the outcome of the world's economy. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. Trump has called the Federal Reserve crazy, his number one enemy, and believes they've blown a massive asset bubble that their rising rates will pop. Trump knows he must beat the Fed to the punch before they cause another financial collapse. He'll do this by monetizing gold. His brilliant plan will cause the price of gold to double overnight. I lay it all out in my in-depth report, The Mar-a-Lago Accord. To get this report and a free copy of my best-selling book, text the words Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. The U.S. owns more gold than every nation in the world. Trump's about to use that gold to make America great again. Text Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. If you have an IRA or 401k, you absolutely need to see this. Text Trump Gold to 49776.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric from Taxes Show. I'm talking to Michael Francis. We're at the end of this part of the story. Michael, this is unbelievable. You're in the hole. You said you felt bottomless hopelessness. You wanted to die because you knew, realistically, this is the end of your life. You're never going to see your wife. You're never going to. They got you. They finally got you. So in the 6x8 hole, what happens?
I'm laying on that cot, and like I said, just wanted to close my eyes and not wake up. A prison guard walked by my cell. He looked in on me. He said, Francis, you don't look good. You okay? I said, get away from me, man. I chased him. I don't want to see anybody.
I mean, a prison guard, usually they're not usually thought of as tender and thoughtful. The fact that he's looking at this vicious mobster and he says, you don't look too good, that alone is bizarre.
Correct. And he left, and he comes back maybe a minute later. He pushes something through the slot on a door. It falls on the floor. I heard a thump. It was a Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I was so angry, or whatever the word is, I jumped off the cot, picked up the Bible, slammed it against that cinder block wall as hard as I could. It was like, that was it. And then, you know, it took me about a minute. I said, you know what, only me and God in this cell. I believed in God. I said, I don't need another enemy. I got nothing but enemies. I pick up the book, and I looked up, Eric, for the first time in my life at that cement ceiling, and I said, God, if you're up there, you got to give me something to make me feel better. I can't deal with this. I'm holding the book. I didn't know how to read the Bible, catechism in Catholic school, right? And it falls open to the book of Proverbs. I don't think that was a coincidence because I'm a pretty analytical guy. And I was so turned on by the wisdom of Solomon. I'm saying, wow, this guy's smart. And then I came to a verse that just stopped
me. Oh, so you start reading it.
I started reading it.
Yeah.
What else am I going to do, right?
Yeah.
And I came to a verse that kind of just stopped me cold, and it was Proverbs 16:7, which says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Now, the enemies part got me, because I had nothing but enemies. And then I kind of moved back, and I was convicted. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, well, that certainly wasn't me. And it was almost as if the Spirit said to me, if you'd have been pleasing to me, I'd take care of your enemies. That's how I interpreted the verse. I started to read on a little bit more, and I came to a verse that's really become the verse of my life. And it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And, Eric, when I read that verse, my first inclination, I challenged God. I said, God, I trusted my father. I took a blood oath. Look where it got me. I did it twice. Can't do it again. If you really are God, prove it to me. I'll tell you what happens. The racketeering case they're going to put on me, it fell apart. Couldn't indict me, but they gave me 4 years, the maximum on a parole violation. I spent 35 more months and 13 days in prison, 29 months and 7 days in that hole. 6x8 cell, 24/7, me and God. And Eric, that's not easy. We weren't meant to be solo creatures. We were meant to be social. When the lights went out at night, I heard a lot of moaning and groaning from the other guys. Tough to deal with. But I dove into my Bible. Dove into it. I mean, every day. If you see my prison Bible, more on my notes than scripture. My wife sent me in hundreds of books on every faith. I wanted to know the truth. I had nothing but time on my hands. I came out of there believing with all my heart that the Bible was God's word and that Jesus was my risen Savior. And he took it from there. I don't claim any credit for anything that I'm doing now because I had no clue what I was going to do.
This is loony stuff. I love this story. It's an amazing story. That's the end of the hour, but we've got a little more time to talk about what you're doing now. Folks, I hope you will share this with your friends. This is an this is a miracle story. This is, to my mind, proof that God is real and that he can reach anybody. He can get to you if he wants to. Michael Francis, thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.